God says, blessed are the people that are faithful. 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 I think of Children's Church 1. And Jelaine said, oh yes, we're going. That's faithfulness, people. To be faithful, to say, hey, you know, because you know, when the children came or wanted to get to Jesus, and the disciples were trying to push them away and said, you know, you didn't have time for that. He said, oh, no, 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 no. Let them come. Let them come. Because they, it says that we're to have the characteristics or the humbleness of heart like little children. The humbleness of heart like little. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate that. But to be faithful, people, we need, that's a characteristic that has been lost in the world, that has been lost in the church, and has been lost in just in general in with people. Faithful. To be faithful in marriage, to be faithful with your church, to be ultimately faithful to God. That's the most important thing. Because you see, when God calls you to do something, it doesn't mean everything's going to be easy. Huh? Some things are very hard to do. But God says, be faithful. And as you are faithful, I will always be faithful unto you. I remember years ago, we were in that building across the street. Rita, you'll remember this. At 10:05 or so, we closed the doors. And, well, it was 10 o'clock, I think, we closed the doors, basically. And there was nobody. Except, you know, Joanne and I, you know. And then a few minutes later, we were about to start. Rita knocked on the door, I think it was, and she came in. We had one person. One. One. After a couple of years of ministry here. And it's not that that's all we had. That's all that was there that day. I mean, at the start, because some came a little later or whatever. But it's like you kind of, you shut the door and there's one and you say, Lord, with all the toil and the work and everything, you know, you think. But you see, you have to be faithful when there's one. You got to be faithful when there's 50. And you have to be faithful when there's 100 or 1,000. You see? You have to be, that's a characteristic that we need to learn, that we press in no matter what. We keep our eyes upon the Lord no matter what. That He gives the increase in His timing as we pursue Him and what He is doing in the hearts and lives of the people. You know, be faithful to God, most of all to Him. Faithful in your prayers, faithful in your Bible reading, just faithfulness coming out of you. And that, because you see, God cannot entrust the souls of His people, that's the church, to anyone that is not faithful to Him. It's a hard statement. But God looked. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, doesn't God have to build faithfulness in us? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. So what we do is we go before Him, and there's a calling upon our lives to do whatever it is, because everybody has a calling of God to accomplish the will of the Father upon the earth. And He expects us to be faithful with the things that He calls us to, and in the meantime, asking the Lord, Lord, help me to be more faithful than ever before in all things unto our Lord and Savior. And that's what God looks at. And looks at with pleasure. With pleasure. Let's take our Bibles, make our declaration before you. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As He gives me life. And I will honor Him with all of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to turn. Now, I don't want you to think you're not faithful. Okay, that's not, there's something with faithfulness. You know, and hey, look, thank you for being here. It's like, hey, look, you know, you might say, well, where's everybody? I know where a lot of people are today. I know where they are, you know, and not that they just tell me because of certain things that are happening in their lives, you know, but be faithful to him. And I know you are a faithful people. Keep it up. Keep it up. Be faithful in your finances. Be faithful in your church attendance. Be faithful in your Bible reading. Be faithful unto him, because it's faithfulness that will move God, and he will entrust us with more than ever before. I want you to turn, if you would, look at Genesis chapter 17. God is faithful. When God speaks a word to you, he's not just speaking a word to you just to speak. When God speaks a word or something, or you feel the Holy Spirit has impressed something upon your heart, there's something there. God is, it could be a word for today. It could be a word for the future. It could even be a word for whatever has happened in the past when God wants to heal or do certain things. But look at Genesis chapter 17. Look at verse 1, starting there. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nigh, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, ask of me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham, for the father of many nations have I made you. Go back to verse 2. It says, I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply your seed exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, Here we see something. You know, Abram, which we know was Abraham, Sarai, God changed her name to Sarah. You can keep that scripture up there. Here we see God had given them a promise that they would have a son. I mean, you know, to be of age like they were and to have a son, you know, like Sarah did, she laughed. And which we might all do that too. I mean, laugh and, oh Lord, say, man, I don't know about this. But Abraham and Sarah, God had made a promise to. And because the promise took so long, 20 or so years, 20 something years, to come to pass, from the time it was spoken to the time in reality it happened, they tried to make the promise or the covenant that God made with them come to pass earlier than what God wanted it to come to pass to. And they took things and they did things with their own hands. And, you know, and Sarah, you know, talked to Abraham and said, why don't you take my servant Hagar? You know, maybe that's probably how God is going to do it, that we're going to have this promised son. And, you know, you might say, well, you know, how awful is that? You know, back then, you know, they had servants. And back then, that was not a taboo thing like it is today, you know, and not that God wanted it that way. Because God made Adam and Eve, one of each, to be faithful, number one, to him, and to be faithful unto each other. But they had taken things in their own hands, and back then they would take their servants, and the man of the house would have children with the servants. But the head, his wife, number one, would be the mother to all of them. It would be considered all their children. So all the children that Hagar would have would be considered, would be Abraham and Sarai's, or Sarah's sons and daughters. It wasn't a taboo type thing. That was part of their heritage. That was part of how they lived. You know, I know we think, oh my God, you know. But let's face it, it was Sarah's idea to do it. Now, Abraham could have said no, though. That's a fast yeah. So you see, none of them are innocent. But when we make bad choices and we try to fulfill God's promises that he speaks to us from the fleshly part of self, we get fleshly results. And look what happened. They had a son. She had a son, Hagar, Ishmael. Ishmael came into being. And years later, he was like 15 or 16, here we go, Abraham and Sarah, God's promised son. She becomes pregnant, and within that year has the promised son. My God. Now here we see he's born and is growing up, and then we have an Ishmael, and we have God's promised son living at the same time. See, what I'm saying is this. God is faithful, people. You know, sometimes we think, well, you know, when God speaks things to our hearts and minds, because he does by the Holy Spirit, God speaks to his people. I know all the news, fake news, they call it now. They think we're crazy because God speaks to us. Because God speaks to our vice president. Thank God. Man, I just, you know, they can ridicule all they want. We're not crazy, but we know our God. That we have a vice president that is right in line next to our president, that's going to give him wisdom and can be touched by God. My God, you want to know why we're blessed as a nation? You want to know why the employment rate is so low? You want to know why the jobs, we have so many jobs, we don't have people to fill them. You know? My Lord, we're blessed people. You see, when we follow God, the anointing and the presence of God comes upon a people. And here we see God brings about the promise. With a show of hands, how many of you God has spoken things to that you're waiting for him to fulfill? Probably not to everybody. Now you're just waiting. You're saying, Lord, okay, Father, let me tell you this. When God speaks, it's going to happen. When God speaks, it will come about. When God speaks, we don't look to the man. We don't look to the outward things of man of what's going on. You know, hey, look, Jelena and I have had people tell us there's no way a church can be built in Gaynor like this. I mean, we've had people tell us to our face. And so we say, well, you're right, we can't do it, but God can and has and is. Amen. Praise God, Almighty. My God, what a God we serve. I mean, where's the greatest light that can shine in the darkest places? My God, that we can have a God that cares about every person in the world, that will send missionaries throughout the world in little places that men think is nothing, but God says is important, and preach the gospel to these people, and people get saved, little tribes all over the place. Every place in America being hit with the word of God. My God. You know, before he comes back, it says that the gospel will be preached throughout the world. And it's happening. It's going forth. Abraham and Sarah, God kept his promise. Yes, they made a mistake. And let me tell you this, people. When God speaks things to our minds and hearts, we know it's God. We may make some mistakes trying to fulfill it. We may. Huh? We may. But that's okay. I'm not okay that we made a mistake. Not that, but what I'm saying is, you do like Abraham and Sarah, and you go to God and you ask forgiveness. Then you let God bring it about in his time. Now, we have Ishmael till today, people. The Ishmael people are around today. That's why they're causing Israel so much harm this day. Can you imagine? And before that, it says in the scripture that Abraham told Sarah, to deal with Hagar. And what did she do with her? She said, get out. Get out. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do, but get out of here. And it says that she took her son, Hagar, and took her son Ishmael, and they went to a faraway land. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God and the angel of God that would rescue them and told them, get back to Sarah, get back to your mainland, that those people would have died. She would have died, her and her son, right there. Now, you might say, Sarah wanted them to die. Hey, Abraham's the father. You know, Sarah was the mother of Christianity. And she wanted her to die. She wanted death to come because she wanted to get rid of that thing. But you see how faithful God is? God made a covenant with Abraham, and he said to all his seed, no matter what. That's how faithful God took his faithfulness, not that he wanted to so much, but it was faithful in taking care of Ishmael and made him into a great nation, but also was faithful to the promised son that God said would come and be the father to all Christianity. How faithful is God? Don't look at circumstances. Don't look at what we can see. And I know sometimes I wish we could take some blinders and just, okay, Lord, we don't want to see. We don't want to see. Because it looks bad sometimes. It does. Man, sometimes it looks like there's no hope. It looks like, my God, if God doesn't step in, what's going to happen? Looks like it's gonna blow up. But even in the darkest places and in the darkest times, God can step in. Amen. Let me tell you, one step of the Master into your home and into your life and in the presence of God can change everything. That's the power of our God. It says that he's no respecter of persons. What he did for Abraham and Sarah, he can do for us. The covenant that has been made by Jesus Christ upon Calvary's cross. When he said it is finished, he says that all sin was broken off of our lives. All we got to do is receive it. Receive it. And he's broken those things. And we walk under the presence and power of Almighty God, giving us the power and the strength by the Holy Ghost that has been leashed out from the throne room of God for us to help us in all our needs. And all the things that we go through. God is faithful, people. And let me tell you, the devil will try to tell you and I that our God is not faithful. Especially when you're down and out. Huh? Especially when you feel like, oh my God, like all hell has been leashed out upon you. He'll try to tell you, your God's not real. Your God can't do it. He's not faithful to you. He doesn't care about you. You're nothing. What the devil's trying to do is destroy your faith in your God. Because if he can destroy your faith in who you believe in and what he can do, he can get you. But this is what we do. We turn around and we say, okay, now, devil, you've been trying to kill me and do things to me for a long time and you haven't done it yet. So I guess you can't do it. Amen, huh? That means you have no power to do it. I put my faith back in trust in God and what he can do by the power and the authority of our God. How faithful is God, people? How faithful is he? He was faithful to Abraham. He was faithful to Sarah. He'll be faithful to us this day. That's the power of our God. Don't look to the left or to the right. Look to God Almighty that can change every circumstance. God can bring back marriages. God can mend fences between children and their fathers and their mothers. God can bring back siblings back together. That's the power of our God. There's nothing too small that God can't handle. But let me tell you this, there's nothing too big that God can't handle. That's the power of our God. That's the power of our God. When it looks like all hope is gone, we can turn to him and say, Father, it looks like from the eyes what I'm seeing that all hope is gone. But let me tell you, I take my eyes off of the physical and I put my eyes upon you. And because I put my eyes upon you, I see what you can do.
Amen.
See, old Slewfoot, we're trying to get you to stop beating this thing. It'll put you so busy you can't even read it. See, the Word of God is alive and well. It breathes life into our spirits. This is words that have been penned down by the Almighty of the Holy Spirit unto men. And God has been given his written word unto us. And every time you and I open it, it's like life. It's like life. And the devil knows it, people. That's why he likes this. That's what he likes. And he likes us just to go on and pray a little bit, but we keep it over there. We keep it over there. And he waits. And he waits like a lion waiting for us as we're alone. But the scripture says the word of God is like a two-edged sword. That's sharp. It's sharp on one end and it's sharp on the other end. That means there's no dullness with the word of God. And it says that the word of God is like a two-edged sword, cut to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. That means it cuts. It helps you win the battle. As you quote the scriptures forth that God puts in your heart and God puts in your spirit. My God, my God. We need to be the mighty warriors that God has called us to be. That we take this word and we stand firm on it. Yes, they might think we're crazy. So what? They're thinking we're crazy no matter what. But we take this word and we stand upon it. No matter what, they'll think you're crazy. So you might as well do what they say. Hey, we are crazy. We're crazy about our Lord because we know the necessity of preaching the Word of God, to getting the Word of God out, that Jesus is the only way, because we're tired of hell's gates being opened and people pouring into hell. We're tired of that. We want to be the ones that stand and say, stop, stop, stop. Let me tell you the right way. People don't like it. But let me tell you, I don't care. Because let me tell you, out of 100, if I can have 10 turn, amen, that's 10 less in hell. That Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father in John and says, except through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Declaring the word of God. And what he can and can do for us. The power of Almighty God. You see, God sees every one of us. And when we accepted the Lord, we are children of the living God. We are warriors in the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, every time you crack open that word, the power of Almighty God comes forth from the scripture. And it's like, oh my God, the devil will try to do everything he can to stop us from listening on it with the radio. That's just that's That's just as much important, you know, reading it, getting it in your spirit. How many times have you been talking with somebody and you sharing with the Lord, or maybe they know the Lord, and all of a sudden you just talk to them, and all of a sudden a scripture comes up here. You do. You're thinking in your mind, man, I haven't heard that scripture in a long time. And God says, share it with that person. See, the only way God can bring up these scriptures is if we put it into the bowl. And so we share that scripture with that person. It could be a Christian, but not whatever it is. Whatever they are. And let me tell you, the Spirit of God takes that scripture and stamps it upon their hearts. That's the power of Almighty God, that He used you because you took the diligence of being faithful to God to get that scripture in you. And God, the Holy Spirit, comes in and digs it up from the bottom of your spirit and brings it upon your mind, and you share it with, could be God's man or woman, whoever. And they are encouraged. That's the Spirit of Almighty God working in you. Letting God move in your heart and life. How faithful is He, people? I want you to turn to another scripture. In Samuel. Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel, I'm sorry, chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. How faithful is He, people? That was all on y'all. I didn't plan on saying any of that, but it's okay. I need it. I need it. You know, God is faithful. Write that on in your tablet. Write that on your mirror. Write that on your car, oh Lord. God is faithful. Write that on the palm of your hand. You know, do something that you never lose faith in who God is and what He can do. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel 23. Look at verse 1, starting there. It says, then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Therefore David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And David's men said unto him, behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more than if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? Then David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise and go down to Keilah, and I will deliver the Philistines into your hands. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle, smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah, the people. David and his men had left Moab and were coming back to Judah, protecting the people from the Philistines. The Philistines had come in and had went into Judah. Okay, Judah took, there was a lot of cities in the Judah area. And that one of the places was Keilah. And here we see the Philistines, which were ungodly people, had gone into that city. And the first thing they did, which was amazing, they went to the threshing floor. Now, you know, do you know what that is, a threshing floor? The threshing floor was like the bank. You know, where all the money is, where everybody's money is. That's like, you know, you hear in the town of Gaydon, we have Bank of Gaydon and we have Vermilion Bank, those two banks. And a lot of the people in the town and even outside of the town have money there, you know. They might have money other places, but they have a lot of money there. And that's like if, you know, another country, let's say, you know, Canada, would bring in their armies and go into the banks, these two banks, and take all their money. Now, we know it's insured, but let's forget about that. And take all the money, everything that's associated with money, as far as wealth in that city, in our town, and just they siege it. Well, here we see Keilah, the Philistines come into this place, this town. And here we see David with 600 men. And God, you know, he says, he goes to God and he says, look, Lord, are we to go help our fellow men, which is a part of Judah, which is a part of God's land? Do you want us to go? And God told him, yes, go. And so he goes to the men and he says, look, God says to go and get that. Go and help them, deliver them. And the men, you can see, I think in verse 4 or so, they kind of like reluctant to go. And I think they were scared. But God is always faithful. When he says go, you go. And here the Philistines had come into this town. How faithful God is. And they went to the threshing floor. That's where all the grain, that's where all the flour, the grain, everything was brought there to be threshed, to be made into, that they could have the seed, or they could have the flour, or they could have whatever from that plant. That's where it was all stored at. And what they would do when you had these storage places where it was being milled and then stored, they had men that would stand on the front of it and protect it, because that was the wealth of the city. That was their food to eat. That was their food to make bread and whatever else was necessary to get them through the next year, because harvest was only once a year. And here we see the Philistines coming, and the first place they go is to the threshing floor, the wealth of that city, and take it over. Let me tell you, that's like the enemy, old Slewfoot. The first thing he'll try to attack is your finances, your money, your wealth. He'll try to take it. He'll try to snatch it away. You know, not that things won't break, even when you tithe and give and do all that, but God can make things last for a long time. A long time. Make things last. But here we see most of it, he will try to go and take your wealth, try to steal the nuggets of God's word out of your mouth. The nuggets of God's word that he has spoken to you. And you know God has given you that word. He'll try to steal it from you. He'll try to bring unbelief in that area. He'll try to steal all the Christians' wealth of the word of God, of finances that God has given unto his people. The first thing they did. That's a lesson for us to learn. But Satan's enemy does upon the earth is what they do in the spiritual realm also to God's people, or try to do. Steal the peace of God upon our lives. Try to steal God's wealth from us. Because you see, anything he steals from us, God's wealth, is less we have to give towards God. And so what we do is, the Bible says, as we are obedient to the word of God, and we give what God says according to the word of God, it says that he will stop the enemy from taking and stealing from God's people. You see? And so we got to keep that in motion. It's more than just giving of 10% to the church. It's more than just giving that money. It's more than just that God placed it for us to do that, so he could stop the enemy and have the rightful position to do it for our sake. My God. Not just with finances, but in every spiritual aspect of him trying to snatch and steal and take away the word of God out of our hearts and minds, that God protects us. Then it says, David, he asked the Lord, and the Lord said, go and go. You know, back then they had this, and I know I've told you about this, the two things that they would use back then in order to get an answer from the Lord. And the two things they would use was, it was called an Urim and a Thummim. These two things. And what it was what they believe it was. They don't know if it was rocks or whatever it was, but one said, one was yes and one was no. And what they would do is, the high priest had an ephod that he would wear, like a pouch type thing, and they would keep these two things in it, the Urim and the Thummim, that's what they called it. And whenever God's people needed to do something or was going in a certain direction, they would ask the Lord, and they'd pull from that bag that was upon the high priest, which represented who? Christ. And whatever, and that's what they think David did at that time, that he went and would pull from it. And it, he said, Lord, should I go and rescue these people in Keilah? And pulled out, yes. Well, he went to the men. They were kind of afraid, so he went back again, and he said, Father, do you want us to do it? And he said, he went back in and pulled it and said, yes. Now, we don't do that anymore. Okay? You have a lot of people say, well, the doors open up, I know it's God. It could be, but it could not be. Let me give you an example. I've always told the Lord, Lord, as for his ministry, if something opens up, you know, somebody come ask me to preach, I mean, I'll go. I mean, that was just in my heart. Yes, I'll go. They asked me to go. And one time, I was at a prayer breakfast. And they had 100 pastors, 50 to 100 pastors there. And I was sitting down somewhere, and I got up and I saw some people that I knew, went to talk to them, and they had this lady that came, talked to me, and she said, I want you to come preach at my church. And my first response was, well, okay, sure. I said, sure, I don't mind. I mean, you know, whatever you know, if you desire for me to go, I will go, you know, thinking, well, you know, anytime a door opens up, it has to be God, huh? Not necessarily so. So, you know, she gave me her card, and I kind of knew her from the area. Okay, you know. And so, you know, it was about to start the event. So here I am going, you know, I take the card, I take my wallet out, put it in, you know, and put it back in my pocket, and I'm going to sit in my chair. Okay. When I get about right here, I hear a voice like I've never heard before. And all it said was, no! And I sat down. And I said, Lord, forgive me. I knew what it was about. There was no questioning in my mind what it was about. And all, I mean, I can't tell you who spoke, because all I was thinking about was that situation the whole time. What I'm saying is this. Don't ever pray, Lord, if you open up the doors, I mean, you know, if the door opens up, I know it's God. It has to be. Let me tell you something. We don't go by feelings. We don't go by doors opening up. We live by the faith of Jesus Christ that lives in us, that speaks to us. That's how we live. We live by God, the Holy Spirit, speaking to us and telling us things. We are moved by the Spirit of God, not by circumstances. Just because of... Now, I know we pray God opens up doors. I'm not saying every time it's a yes, and I'm saying every time it's a no. But you better be careful. And let me tell you, from that day forward, the Lord spoke to me. Let me tell you, I never called her. Never. There was a no, 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 no. Because you see, God knows what's behind the picture. God knows what's behind what's going on. God knows what's in the lives of people and ministers, let me tell you, that we don't want to know. God knows what's going on. And let me tell you, from that day forward, I said, Lord, you speak to me. You tell me. Lord God, I'm not going by what I feel. I'm not going by if doors open up or not anymore. I'm going by the Holy Spirit that can speak to us and tell us things through his word or through an audible voice somehow. You might say, but did everybody else hear it? Well, I didn't see anybody else run out. But I tell you what, I know what I heard. And let me tell you, it was like just a sound of the Spirit of God. I mean, it was like, no. And you're just like, okay. See, that's the kind of God we serve, people, that is faithful unto us. That's the kind of God that wants to commune with us in the morning and tell us things. That's the kind of God that loves us, that wants to speak to our hearts and minds. And here we know they went in and took care of things. They killed all. And you know what? Twice God told him to go. Twice. One for him, and once for the men that were with him. And I'm not saying I wouldn't have, I might have been afraid. The Philistines, my God, those were the giants. Remember those people? Remember Goliath? That were giants. You know, there's a whole other thing about giants like that. Not good. That were giants in them. They were scared by what they saw. There was a fear. And so, you know, David didn't come down upon his men. He went to God again and he said, now, Lord, yes. And he went to those men and he said, now, look, this is the word of the Lord. Yes. We have to go in. That doesn't mean they weren't a little shaky, maybe, but they knew their God was with the people. We need to realize that what God calls us to do, God is with us. Every time I get up here, there's a little shakiness. Because you don't know what's going to happen. But you trust the Lord. You trust him and you know he's with you. He's walking on the side of you. He's in your heart and life. And you're going to speak the word that the people need to hear and that you need to hear. The power of Almighty God. What he can do. Let's not limit him in any area. Any area of our lives. Let's not limit him at all. Let's take off the limits and say, Father, from this day forward, there's no limit on what you can do. How many times have you heard somebody say, oh, they'll never get saved? Never. I know that. Let me tell you something. If God could save Saul and change his name to Paul, my God, who else can he save? That's this old Slewfoot saying, he wants to condemn that man or that woman to hell for eternity. But let me tell you, we as the church of the living God cannot allow that to happen. We got to pray. We got to seek God's face, asking God to move like never before. The power of Almighty God that can move upon a people, move upon a church, move upon a family, and change things forever. That's the power of Almighty God. The power of Almighty God. What a God we serve that can change the circumstances of Abraham and Sarah. Yes, they made some mistakes. But let me tell you who hasn't. My God. We can all stand up in the front here and all name it all. And we're all in the same boat. We don't want to name it all. Because you know why? Our Father remembers it no more. Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Your Father remembers it no more. My God. People may remember circumstances. We remember sometimes. But our Father remembers it no more. That we have been set free by the power of Almighty God. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses all our sins away. That takes it all away. Because of the power of Almighty God. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. The blood of Jesus that takes our sins away. Abraham and Sarah went to God and said, please forgive us. Look, the church rolled upon these two men. These two people, Abraham and Sarah, the church of the living God. You know, God could have kept that part out of the word. You ever thought of that? He could have kept that part if he wanted to, about Abraham and Sarah making a mistake. He could have kept David's mistakes out of the word, where he had an adulterous affair and killed somebody. I mean, all this stuff. He could have left, you know, about Cain and Abel, you know, Cain killing Abel, you know, all this stuff. He could have left all that out if he wanted to. Because we often think we read a story about something, we go, well, why didn't God let us know about this or that? Often just tell people, because it's not important to us. He doesn't want us to know. When you get there, you can ask him. So you see how good God is? God will say, look, people, these patriarchs, men and women, full of faith, made mistakes. You may also, but look what I can do through them as they put their faith and trust in me. Look, he's a faithful God. How faithful is he? Let's be faithful to him to the best of our ability. Look, let me tell you, work will be there. And mail will be there tomorrow. We'll be there next week. We'll be there next year. Even though you may not want it, the junk mail will be there. I've often had people tell me, oh, just keep it. I can't. I gotta give it to you. Throw it in the trash can. I can't do that. I can't do that. Yeah. It'll be there no matter what. Look, precious of life will be there. Things will be there in life. But let me tell you, most of all, the faithfulness of God will be there to eternity. That we can trust him. It says his faithfulness. This is the last scripture. His faithfulness rises up. It says, is it Psalms or Proverbs? I'm not sure. Psalms or Proverbs? I think it's Proverbs. His faithfulness rises up to the heavens. My God. That's how faithful he is to us. Praise God. Praise God. He's faithful to us. Amen. You may stand, please.